Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody here this evening. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you have them, and turn with me to Philippians, the third chapter. We're going to study verses 10 through 14 this evening. And so, as you turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, I want to revisit the theme or the subject that we're studying. That theme and that subject is pressing on. We begin with the story, which is from the life of Thomas Edison, and it goes like this. On December the 9th, 1914, disaster struck the laboratories and the factories of inventor Thomas Edison. Great geysers of green flame, fueled by chemicals, shot into the air, and fire departments of 8 nearby towns rushed to the scene. Numerous firefighters and volunteers were overcome, and one Thomas Edison factory worker was killed. Thomas Edison's son, Charles, was overwhelmed by the horror of the scene. But it was then that Thomas Edison walked into the yard, his hands folded across his chest, and while watching, said to his son, "Where in the world is your mom? Tell her to get out here and bring her friends with her, because they'll never see a fire like this again." Many people sent messages of condolence and support. To one such sympathizer, Edison replied, "I am 67 years old, but I'm not too old to make a fresh start." Within 3 weeks, he had made that fresh start, and the Edison factories were restored to some semblance of order. And by New Year's Day, they were running at two shifts. One observer said this. He said that the speed of the recovery was almost as spectacular as the disaster. Now here's the point. The point of that story and the point of this series in pressing in or pressing on is don't quit. Don't panic. One thing about quitting that you can tell yourself this evening is at least you know how the story ends if you quit. The point is don't quit, don't panic. How many of you know that's easier said than done? That telling someone, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, is easier to tell someone else than for that someone else to tell you when the laboratory in your life blows up. So don't quit. Don't panic. Don't give up. But press on. I'm not talking about your nails. I'm talking about your spiritual journey. Press on. Commit to being a finisher. Continue to do the work God has called you to do and see what happens when you reach for the things that are ahead. And so we arrive at Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. I want to remind us that 2 weeks ago, we began realizing that Paul was one step ahead of us when he wrote Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And we're to be reminded that the person who is one step ahead of us always knows some really important stuff about life we don't know yet. That's why it's so key to have people of faith in your life, people that have grown stronger in their faith than perhaps where you're at. It's important to have seasoned, mature people of faith in your life because that's a picture of them and their experiences being one step ahead of you in life. There's going to be some good stuff that they know that you don't know. Now turn to three people and in the form of a question, tell them, you know? I want you to think about that question or that thought or that truth. Is there somebody in your life that is one step ahead of you in a particular area of your life that one step can give you life? Because they know more than you do. And what they know may keep you from the ultimate end of quitting, panicking, and giving up. Now, who is your person? Some of you are thinking, well, I don't know anybody else but me. You better get out there and find someone. So Paul is that one step ahead. For some of us, he's probably more than one step. But thank God that he gives us practical instruction in his word. That is that one step. And I got to tell you that when God is one step ahead of you, and he always is, he knows some really cool stuff. He knows some really important stuff, and he wants us to find out what he knows. So he writes some of it through the Apostle Paul. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says this beginning in verse 10. I, want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I... Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I... Or take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. But this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Tonight we're really going to need your discussion. Let's begin here. Has any of you ever been involved in team sports at some level in your lifetime? Raise your hand and just keep them up. Let's look around the room. It might be easier for everyone to put their hands down and just ask the question, is there those that may have not been involved in a team sport? There's a few. Okay? Is there those that have been to school at any point in their journey? You went to school. Raise your hands. Okay? Is there those that have not gone to school, but you've lived the fake it to make it? You pretended to go to school, and you even sold your parents on a graduation date, but you never really did. Is there anybody that hadn't been to school? Okay? Here's another question. Has everyone in the room at some point in time in their life worked a job? Has everybody here had a job? If you have not had a job, please raise your hands. So we all have some things in common. Has any of you dared to get to know one other person in your life before? I'm not saying you liked what you knew, but you spent some time and you found someone and you decided you were going to start getting to know them. Okay, what does that have to do with quitting, pressing on? Well, let's talk about it. It didn't take me very long in organized football to feel pain. And after about the second time I felt pain, guess what words crept into my mind? I quit. I did not sign up for this. Any of you that went to school and repeat like a grade so much you got to repeat it more than once? Ever have the words I quit or I want to quit enter your spiritual mental equation? Ever get in a friendship or a relationship with someone, find it to be painful, difficult, and challenging, and then entertain the idea of wanting to quit? Remember, Chris, it's my teaching, not yours. I think all of us have had many encounters and opportunities in a variety of different ways that have tested us and challenged us and led us to a place that we entertained quitting. Whether it be jobs, relationships, team sports, or life in general, each of us have that in common. We all know what it feels like to be tempted to quit. Now take that feeling of quitting. Take it out of your heart. Take it out of your mind. Put some words to it and tell me, how does quitting or the temptation to quit feel? On your mark, get set, go. Lisa Rust?
I thought everybody was going to talk.
You sounded like you had something. Please, just keep going. How did it feel?
In a way, it feels like, oh, Ray, I don't have to put up with this anymore. If I just quit, I don't have to put up with it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Someone else. Jeannie Fogg, what did she say?
Failure.
See, every time I teach, about 8:30, that temptation to quit sweeps over me. But I press on. I forget that which is behind me. And I strive for the prize of the high calling before me. Some of you are like thinking, that is so cheesy and lame. It just makes me want to quit listening. How does quitting make you feel?
Discouraged.
Discouraged. Like a failure? Yes, ma'am. Woo! Give that lady a hand. That's why we do it. Sometimes quitting seems to be a way out. How do you spell quitting? R-E-L-I-E-F. Relief. That's too why we quit. We quit because it relieves us momentarily. But is relief and release the same thing? See, you can quit things all your life, but then your cycle and your circle is going to continue to bring you at the next place in the new thing back to the old place and the old thing, which is when things get tough, I'll just quit. Can I tell you the toughest thing I've ever tried to do in my life? Can I? Well, here it goes. Is be a Christian. That was hard before I got called into the ministry and became a preacher. I thought it looked good to quit before I became a preacher. Now, it's many times God's will. Hey, do you know being a believer does not come with ease, without challenge, without struggle, without tests, without trials? Many times being a believer that pleases God doesn't look too easy and isn't easy. It includes what Paul said when he said it includes the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I love the resurrection part of God and being a believer. I love the breakthrough. I love the answered prayer. I love the healing. I love when before it even leaves my mouth, God has already put the answer at my front door. But how many of you know the longer you live for the Lord, the more acquainted you are going to be with the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings? Paul was the chief sufferer. He wasn't just the chief sinner. How many of you recall he wrote a letter to a local church trying to bring spiritual order and spiritual maturity to their life, trying to bring order and unity to that local church body, and he refers to himself as the chief of sinners. Now, I know some of you wanted to raise your hand and say, but that was me. That's me. In his story, he was the chief of sinners. But when you read his story and you understand the challenge of the daily Christian life, he too was the chief of suffering. Now, friend, can I tell you, being a believer is not always the easiest thing I've set out to do. And many times, it's been the most difficult thing to do. But that some days I have to choose not to quit, not to panic, not to give up, but I have to, by choice, by spiritual disciplines, say, I am going to press on, I'm going to be a finisher, I'm going to do the work that God has called me to do, and I'm going to see what happens when I reach for the things that are ahead of me and let go of the pain and the bitterness and the division and the disappointments behind me. Did anybody else hear the cricket, cricket, cricket? Can I just tell you that while many times being a believer and choosing to be an overcomer as a believer has been one of the most challenging things I have ever tried in my life, can I tell you it's the most rewarding thing I have ever experienced in my life, and that is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and my Savior. There's not anything in my whole life I have experienced that's greater than the mercy and the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the hope I find on a daily basis with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Have you found that to be true? I mean, because when the chips are down, when the factory in my own life is burning down and there seems to be no hope, He is that one constant in my life. Though no one else seems to get me or go with me, He never leaves me, and He never forsakes me. Do you know there's never been a time I've known God to put me on hold when I've called upon the name of the Lord? He's always answered. He's always been faithful. The problem with God is that He and I are not on the same calendar page. He fails to notify me when it's going to take longer. He fails to ask me if it's okay for me to go through this trying of my faith. He teaches me daily how to trust His heart, even when I can't make sense of His hand. I have to choose to press on when quitting seems the only way out. When giving up and panicking and running away seems like answered prayer and a relief. I know better. How many of you know that too? Do you ever have to struggle with that moment that you realize you really have no choice but to keep on keeping on? Or is that just me? I have some God wrestling going on. God, I wanted it this way, and I wanted it that way, and I wanted it by this date, and don't you know it's going to mess up our vacation? And don't you know I prayed for my baby not to have surgery, and I prayed for her teeth to be straight, and they look like jagged rocks, and I prayed for that, God, for them to be straightened in the midnight hour. Where is that angel of healing? Where is that angel of health? How many of you can raise your hand and say, hey, I too have wrestled with God before? Wrestle with His timing. Wrestle with the way and the methods He's used. I too have found that believers suffer. How many of you will raise your hand and say, yeah? Yeah. Oh, but the joy that comes when we don't panic. Okay, it's okay to freak out a little bit. Just don't live in the freak out. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just need to have a good cry. You need to hang up the phone and get off the phone with the grapevine gossiper in your life. Hang up. And you need to go get in your prayer closet and shut the door. And you need to just have a good cry. And you just need to have good talk with the Lord. And when you're done whining, you'll start worshiping. When you stop talking about the problem and start praising Him, you're going to start seeing His presence. And miracles are going to start happening in your life. But it's not easy. Now, isn't it funny how we come to church and we live life. And we live life and we think, hey, life's probably not going to be very fair on the job. It's just probably not going to be very fair. We're going to even have to work with people we don't like. I can tell by the nodded head that some of you actually work with people. Now, how many of you are those people that people don't like? I just didn't know if you knew. Oh, I see Dave Henderson's like, that's me. I'm that guy. Now, isn't it funny how we understand that part of life, but we get to church and we think it should all be different. Well, I can't believe I don't like them. I don't like them. What are they doing in this church? You know what they're doing here? They're looking for the same help you are. When I'm standing in line, I'm standing in line. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. When you go to eat somewhere and it's a buffet and you have to stand in line, you're not thinking whether or not you can get along great with the person in front of you or behind you. What are you thinking about? Your goal! Some of you are finely buffeted bodies. It's taken time to get in this shape. Am I right? I promise you, I did pray and study before tonight. I don't know what's wrong. It's so funny how we get our minds off on all the wrong stuff when we come to church. And we're trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong with the people in front of the line and the people behind us in line. And we forget that we are here for the prize of the high calling. We are here to press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Has God called me? Or has God called me? You owe it to yourself to keep your eyes on the prize. Your prize. Keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the things that God has said for you are yes and amen. Now, I've never been in the buffet line and got frustrated with the people in front of me or behind me enough to get out of line and go get in the car and leave. I've gotten frustrated before. And I've leaned over to Dina and went, but I stayed, honey. I pressed on. I didn't panic. That person wasn't going to be my reason for quitting. Now, isn't it funny how we don't let little things trip us up until we get to church? And then we start letting the littlest things upset our little basket. I have no idea where I'm going with that. I don't even know what that means. But I think what I'm trying to say is we let the littlest things get our eyes off the prize. Steal our joy. Steal our peace. Cause us to panic. Cause us to be tempted to quit. And that's the way the enemy looks in our life. And that's the way I want to make sure that you and I walk through this series. Because last week or 2 weeks ago, I talked about the power of what you listen to. I said I was going to give you three life skills in this series that I've entitled Pressing On. First, it's important to revisit Pressing On before I remind you of the power of what you listen to. In the original context of the Bible, pressing on means to take a hold of. It means to press towards the goal or the prize. It means to run after, to flee after, to put to flight if it's an enemy, to drive out and drive away. If you're going to press on in something, you're going to run swiftly in order to catch a person or to catch that something. You're going to run after swiftly. You're going to pursue in a hostile manner. Metaphorically, it means to pursue, to seek after eagerly, to earnestly endeavor to inquire. To acquire, not inquire. Thomas Edison said, "Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up." I found in my life that the closer I get to the prize, the more distractions I have to deal with. And one of the greatest areas that I can get distracted in is in what I listen to. Now, quickly, I want everyone to think about, if you drove to church tonight, what you listened to. If you listened to music tonight, what did you listen to? What was the station? What was its call numbers? What is its call letters? 90.5. What do you know about 90.5? That is the Southern Gospel Station. Other than John and Lisa, is there anybody in this congregation that knew about 90.5? All 90.5ers stand up, because I've just been enlightened. I had no idea we had that many 90.5ers. Give them a big hand. I love Southern gospel music. I bet you didn't know that your pastor right out of Southwestern did not take a ministry position, but he went and worked in a local radio station in New Mexico at KNMI, where the light always shines. I was a Christian DJ, and I spun records, yes, back in the day they were still records, from 12 midnight to 6 o'clock. 30 pounds later, that's the only way I could stay awake was eat. 6 hours of spinning Southern gospel music made me so hungry I'd gained 30 pounds, I finally took a position in Texarkana as a coach. How many of you knew I was a Christian radio DJ when I started? And I couldn't be energetic or hyper. I'd have to sound like this. Good evening. It's 12:43, and that was the Florida Boys. We hope tonight that the light is shining in your life, for Jesus is the light. And now this is Jimmy Swaggart singing, "Just As I Am." It's 71 degrees here in downtown Farmington, New Mexico. I'm going to give you this update from the wireline. And so I was a Christian radio DJ. I'm not saying I was good, but I made like $8 an hour. I was getting rich, living off mom and dad and keeping my money I made. Okay? 90.5ers, tell me, Why do you listen to that station? What do you hear? What does it do for you? Ready, set, go. It's uplifting.
I hear the word of God.
You hear the word of God. The call letters, what are they? And what do they stand for? Okay, King Jesus is coming. Come on, 90.5ers, why do you listen to that? You knew a southern lady from way back. Oh! See, I meant to do that to illustrate to you there is power in what you're listening to, and some of you are listening to the wrong stuff, and then some of you can't hear. That would be me. But you've listened to it from way back? And why do you listen to it? Tell a story. Why is that story important to you, Sonny? What do you get from that story? What does it do to your faith?
It's like a witness.
It's like a witness.
They tell you a story like something has happened, something will happen. If you do this, it's a witness.
What does it stir up in you, 90.5ers?
To press on.
Memories. Memories of what? The way we were. What does it press on? I mean, what does it build?
It teaches you that you're going to go through trials.
Teaches you you're going to go through trials.
You're going to go through it, but, you know, if you just keep pressing on, there's a better thing at the end.
Hello. See, that's the thing you press on towards. Yes, ma'am.
I'm a 92.1.
Okay, now, this 2 is new to me. What's 92.1? The new praise. Yolanda Adams Morning Show. What kind? The stomping. I was making a hospital call last night, and the lady that had surgery had her cell phone right there, and right in the middle of our discussion, after she had a complete hysterectomy, she was in pain, and she was working at overcoming, her phone rings. Well, like most people now, we don't just have a ring. She starts having this song, I'm going to praise him. Come on. And I'm trying to think of the song, and I'm needing some help because I just went dead. That's it. How does it go? See, look at what you're listening to. Some of you hadn't smiled all night long, and now you're singing that song like you're the one that wrote it and performed it. I watched her. Her whole countenance in the hospital changed. She heard that song and it stirred up.
Yeah.
Paul says to build up your holy faith, and what you listen to can have the power and the ability to make or break your faith.
Yeah.
If you find yourself getting discouraged by what or by whom you've been listening to, then you owe it to yourself to change the channel. Because the wrong stuff will poison you and eventually paralyze you. I hear you saying 92.1 and its music, it stirs up the gift of faith in me. It builds up the holy faith in me. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When Paul wrote this to the Roman church, he knew what he was talking about. He was talking to you and me, and he was telling us, you're going to have faith in something. So you better guard your hearing, because your faith's going to come, and it's going to come by what you hear. And sometimes all we listen to is fear. And when you listen to fear and you have fear, don't be surprised in a little while when you don't just have fear, but fear has you. And you're going to have faith, but you're going to have more faith in your fear than in your faith. You're going to go have more fear in what could happen instead of what God could do. And you're going to produce what you're listening to. And if you don't like what you're listening to, or if you don't like what you're producing, you might need to back up and change the channel. But first visit what you're listening to. Now let's go on. Who in the room would have courage enough to say that maybe a Christian radio station isn't the only kind of music you listen to? And in church, you'll be honest. Some of you are raising your hands. Throw something out there. Give us the call letters and the numbers. Let's start with 99.1. Why do you listen to the station that claims they're sunny? Now, who are the Bee Gees? Is this a Southern Gospel station too? Oh, this is the New Praise station. Okay. Talk to me. Why do you listen to 99.1? It's easy. It's soft. It's soothing. It's love songs. Excuse me? A lot of old love songs. What happens when you listen to it? What happens in you? You reminisce. Of the warm and fuzzies. How to know when Bible study's completely out of control? When the warm and fuzzy. Okay? Mary. You have an agreement. Point three, what is it?
Country.
And why do you listen to it?
That's what your parents
listen to all your life.
And
Jesus Take the Wheel.
And they play that.
I just sing Jesus Take the Bills. Give me the wheel, that I'll give you the bills. Okay, why do you listen to it? Because your parents listen to it.
Yeah.
Is that the only reason? Well, this is going to be good. How many of you want me to keep digging? Press on! I heard somebody shout, press on! Yeah. Well, let's measure the room. How many of your lives look like a rap song? Okay. All right. Let's go somewhere else quickly. My point is this. You're going to listen to something. You're going to listen to something. You are. You're going to listen to someone. That's the given. In life, what you listen to can be life and death to your faith. And the measure of what you're listening to comes out of your mouth. Listen to your mouth, and it will tell you what you're listening to. And I'm not just stopping at radio stations. You know how you set the dial on your favorite radio stations? Do you know internally you and I have an internal station? And we will set the dial on certain things in our life. Sometimes we'll set it on insecurity. And we'll listen to one thought after another. Oh, now some of you are looking at each other like, this is all starting to make sense. I'm sure glad you're here tonight. This is for you. I'm just here to keep you company. You set it on fear. You set it on unclean, unscriptural desires and lusts. And you sit on it long enough, and it'll be sitting on you. See, friend, that's many, many times where some of you are losing the battle. You walk around daily tuning into stuff in your life that continues to bring you to a place that all you have left is enough energy to quit, panic, or give up. And I think what Paul is saying here is you have to push beyond that. You have to press on beyond that. And not just press on beyond that, you need to leave some of that stinking thinking behind. You owe it to yourself to quit setting yourself up to fail. You owe it to yourself to identify things that set you up to disobey, that set you up to sin, that set you up to not believe, to set you up to think small instead of walk tall. You owe it to yourself, Paul is saying. That's the kind of stuff you got to discern in your life, push out of your life, discipline out of your life, let go of in life, and just forget about it. But how many of you know that's easier said than done? Because it's what my mom and daddy listened to. And my mom and daddy had an anger problem, had an alcohol problem, had an abuse problem. So I have an anger problem, alcohol problem, abuse problem. Hello? Have I lost the audience? Have I gone past 8? Oh no, it's not even past 8:30. See, now you should be thinking about the things you shouldn't be thinking about. Isn't it funny how we sit all day in our mind listening to that channel, and then we're shocked that our mouth says we're discouraged and depressed? Paul's saying, mm-mm. You owe it to yourself to see the prize that God has reserved for you. He says you are more than that. You are more than a conqueror. But you will never be a conqueror in your hands until you have allowed God to change the channel in your head and your heart. It's why sometimes you and I keep leading ourselves back to the same old place. And we seldom experience the thrill of victory, but we often live in the agony of defeat. I wrote this, and I said this last week or 2 weeks ago, that many times there's nothing wrong with our faith. Our faith is exactly, it's producing exactly what we're listening to. The problem is we keep listening to the wrong stuff. We listen to fear and we're almost in shock when our faith produces more of it and our prayers can't seem to move or overcome it. We listen to sour grapes and then we're surprised when our faith produces more anger, more unforgiveness, more resentment, and more bitterness for us to process. We listen to criticism, condemnation, and judgment, or words that lack God's mercy. And then we're shocked when people speak ill will of us. Simply put, we consistently eat from the wrong tree and yet somehow still live in and with the expectation of receiving all the rewards and blessings from the right tree. Now, can I pause and tell you, that's not the way the life of a believer works. That's not the way that overcoming happens. Do you know that overcoming and being an overcomer and being a believer doesn't just magically happen because you made church tonight? It happens when you purpose in your life to listen to God's word, to set the channels of your mind and your heart on what He says more than any other channel, any other thing in your life. I want to encourage you, if you don't like what you're getting, and you find yourself constantly dealing with feelings of giving up, quitting, and pushing the panic button, then like a radio station being changed, you've got to change what you've been listening to. You've got to change the frequency. I'm going to break it down a little bit more. Frequency. Doesn't each station have a frequency? If I understand it correctly, each station transmits a signal. And you're catching as receivers that signal when you set your channel on a specific number. Is that basically the principle? So I want you to ask yourselves, what have I set myself to receive frequently? Now I'm using frequency in the terms of how often you listen to what you listen to. Man, when I wake up in the morning, I've got to get a hold of my internal spiritual radio. Because through the night, someone has messed with the dial. I don't listen to FEAR. How did it get on the fear channel? How did it get over there on the doubt channel? How did it get on the unbelief channel? What's it doing on the bitterness channel? When I went to sleep, I was watching the food channel. How did it get to the unforgiveness channel? We're laughing. Some of us are laughing to keep from crying. And have you noticed that what you start the day thinking about has the power to infect and affect your whole day? Well, Pastor, it'd be easy to be up all the time like you if I was a preacher and got paid to be holy. There, I'm taking openings for my job right after the service tonight. Well, it'd be easy if all I ever did was get to be in church all the time, but I don't get to be. It'd be easy, Pastor, if I didn't have, if I had the pressures you have, because you don't have any. If my wife was like your wife, then I wouldn't have problems either. If my children were like your children, they wouldn't have problems either. But they're not. They're all the spawn from the devil. For all I know, I might be the Antichrist. And looking at some of you, I couldn't agree more. But here's the point. That's not the point. The point is, if you don't like what you're getting, if you don't like what you're becoming, if what you're becoming on a consistent basis is someone who lacks faith, someone who lacks victory, someone that lacks peace, someone that lacks joy, someone that hates their life but still has to live it, then you owe it to yourself to stop the insanity. Shout, stop the insanity.
Stop the insanity.
Do you remember when infomercials were first invented? And Susan Powder told us, stop the insanity. I'm looking at this 6'4" Hungarian woman that's 2 times more muscular than I ever even thought about being, who's got spiky hair, and she's tanned. And I'm thinking, stop the insanity? Woman, you've started it. Little did I know she was setting a fashion trend. But she talked about really breaking life down into some livable steps that make life worth living. And I'm telling you, those steps that make life worth living begin when you get a hold of what's holding you. When you begin to discern, man, I have a control over some of this stuff I've been feeling and doing. I'm tired of asking God to answer a prayer that He's already given me the answer for. He said to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And every day from now on, I'm going to seek God first. May mean I have to change the dial, but I'm going to change it. It's going to be hard at first, because now listening to the wrong stuff has become a bad, easy habit. I meet people all the time who say they've developed an appetite for listening to things that make them feel bad. I'm like, what? Yeah, Pastor, it's kind of a weird deal. I don't feel good until I feel bad. The other day I was driving down the road, Pastor, and I was up and I was singing a song and whistling and having the best day, and it dawned on me I wasn't worried. I never not worry. And I got worried because I wasn't worried. So I started thinking about some things I should be worrying about. And lo and behold, that joy was gone. That happiness was over. I went from singing a song from 90.5 to now I'm over on 100.3 and remembering that I'm trapped in a country western song. I've given the devil my first marriage and my second marriage and my 3 kids. I've given the devil my house, my finances, my sanity, and my dog. I'd stole him from the neighbor anyway, so I'm... God is my witness. I'm sitting at the table listening to this lady. She's upset because she's not upset. She's worried because she's not worried. So she changed the dial so she could. And I said, well, why do you do that? And she's like, because it feels good. So I asked Pastor Clint to come in and tag team and take over. No, I didn't. I said, see, that's a habit. That's security for you. That's safety for you. You can control that. Why wait for anybody else to hurt you when you can hurt yourself? She's like, but Pastor, faith is so scary. You can't control it. It makes you afraid. I'm like, and this doesn't? Oh, I guess you're right. Hey, obviously I'm not done talking on the first life skill. Change what you're listening to. Change what you're listening to from the inside out. Every day when I wake up, I have to usually change the channel. But I got to change it to what God's Word says about my life. Because I know faith comes by hearing. And hearing, real hearing, life-giving, life-freeing faith comes by the Word of God. I want us to stand to our feet. I want you to change the channel. Just as she easily went from praising and rejoicing and thanking the Lord to all of her problems, I want to make a reversal of that. Wherever you're standing, wherever you're seated tonight, I want you to make the change of channel. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like it. That's okay. That's where your faith comes in. God always feels like overcoming in whatever you are facing this evening. Maybe it's not quite as severe as Thomas Edison's factory burning down, or maybe it's more. I want you in the middle of it to change your direction. Change your channel. I want you to go from the weeping and the gnashing of teeth to the worshiping, reverencing, and praising of the Lord. I want you just to quietly, just from the inside out, praise the Lord. I don't want us to practice being loud. I want us to confuse the enemy. Put a silencer on the end of our gun. It's just as deadly. On the end of our spiritual gun of praise, I want you to put a silencer. And from the inside out, in a quiet, reverent way, I want you to think. I want you to stir up thoughts of thanks and appreciation unto the Lord. See, this is a powerful discipline. You can do this anywhere, anytime. They can take prayer out of schools, but they can't take prayer out of people's hearts. Your situation around you may not have anything in it worthy of praise, but in it, you can praise Him who is worthy. So right now, just quietly, just practice praising Him.